have a problem in our country with a lot of judges. Once they're there, a lot of times they're there, and there's not a lot of getting rid of bad ones. Sometimes there's election processes, but it's not. It all kind of varies by jurisdiction. And, you know, there's certainly good ones and there's certainly bad ones. But the thing is, there's not a lot of accountability or process to get rid of the bad ones. And we see it quite a bit. This is a good good example of one of these. Outrage and calls for accountability have surged following the tragic murder of a 61-year-old Audrey Peterson by her ex-boyfriend, 71-year-old Francis Scosa. On February 9th, the incident, which resulted in Peterson's untimely death, has ignited a heated debate surrounding the actions of the Pinellas Pasco Circuit Judge Deneen Lohr. Peterson's fatal encounter came merely 2 days after she sought legal protection from Scosa filing a domestic injunction citing his alarming behavior, including stalking. Despite Peterson's pleas for safety, Judge Lohr denied her petition for temporary protection, a decision that critics argue contributed to Peterson's murder. According to court records, Peterson's petition detailed a series of distressing incidents involving Scosa, including unsettling text messages, verbal abuse, and menacing behavior. Peterson's case highlighted her legitimate fear for her safety, prompting her to change her routine and maintain constant communication with law enforcement officials. In a heart-wrenching statement, Peterson's daughter lamented the failure of law enforcement to safeguard her mother, expressing profound disappointment in their ability to intervene effectively. Representative Anna Pauline Luna in Florida joined the chorus of voices commending Judge Lohr's decision, or condemning, rather, Judge Lohr's decision, asserting that the denial of Peterson's protective order directly contributed to her tragic demise. Luna, herself a victim of the judge's ruling in a previous stalking case, emphasized the urgent need for accountability and reform within the judicial system. Reflecting on Peterson's life and contributions in the community, her former supervisor, Laura Hyman, described her as legitimately scared of Scosa and recounted Peterson's proactive efforts to ensure her safety. As the community mourns this, questions obviously lingering over the efficacy of legal mechanisms designed to protect victims of domestic violence. Should she have ordered it? Yes. Yes, she certainly should have. Would it have stopped this person from doing what they were going to do? No. So it could maybe even have sped it up. If somebody's going to do this sort of shit, they're going to do this shit. And that's the scary thing.
What concerns me here, and we've talked a lot about protective orders and how it's just a piece of paper. In some cases, it could be a deterrent. Somebody might go, oh, okay, they got serious. It might be a deterrent, but I'm wondering why a judge would deny an order of protection to somebody, especially if they could produce unsettling text messages, verbal abuse, a proof of menacing behavior.
Yeah.
And being in touch with law enforcement, why wouldn't you go ahead and say, you know what, we'll do an order of protection for 60 days and see what happens.
What's the worst that could happen by putting the order? I mean, the purpose of it, it's not going to stop a crazy person from doing something crazy, but it is there if that crazy person attempts to do something and you can get law enforcement there ahead of time. They can go, oh, look, there's a protective order. Now we can arrest them. Now we can hold them and we can charge them. It's not just, oh, get out of here, or we're going to put you in a 24-hour hold or something like that. It gets that process moving because then there's a record of it. But yeah, there's so many things like this where for whatever reason, you know, a judge decides not to do it or they make a horrible choice. I don't know. I feel like there should be three strikes and you're out or something against judges where, look, you keep making really shitty verdicts here and, or really bad decisions. And, it starts affecting people adversely. You don't have a job anymore. You no longer have the ability to render these verdicts at all, or sentences at all, because clearly you're not on track with the rest of the world. I don't know. I mean, it can't be an easy job. I don't envy anybody with that because you're having to make those sort of decisions. But I don't know. Some of these just seem pretty damn obvious.
I just don't understand. If somebody comes to you and they're scared, and they've contacted law enforcement and I don't understand what the harm would be in just granting the order. you know, reassess it down the road if they want to re-up it mm-hmm. and see what's been going on. If the person has stayed away, maybe you just go, well, we don't need it anymore.
It's not but always as perfect as it sounds, though, too, because you can have people who are trying to separate a person from their children or trying to right. separate them. And maybe there is nothing going on. Maybe the person who's requesting the order is the one that has the problem, and they're using the system, you know, to their benefit in a nefarious sort of way, and relying on getting that that sort of order in place to then separate someone, you know, from a situation like that where they really shouldn't be, because maybe that person is doing nothing, and it's really the abuser is the one that's getting the order. Not every case, but that's where you have to look at each one. And I obviously don't know the details of this one, but obviously she ended up dead. So I can't assume that that's what was happening here. But, you know, it works both ways, and people are fucked up. That's the thing. You can't right. you can't just take everything at face value and assume that, well, this will always work perfectly this way, because it doesn't always work perfectly that way. And you don't know.
Again, is this a situation where the judge just doesn't grant these yeah. protective orders? I mean, that representative, yeah. Luna, yeah. was like, well, I myself was a victim of a stalking case yep. And a ruling from this judge. Well, then we've got an issue on our hands where this yeah. judge doesn't believe in protective orders, and that's not useful either.
Well, I mean, you usually need some sort of evidence of some, you know, and in today's day and age, I think it's probably fairly easy to come up with that. You know, the way people stalk on social media or this or that, you can show and go, look, here's this or that. But that's not always the case either. I mean, sometimes it's just they're showing up. They're following you around. They're doing things mm-hmm. where you don't really have a lot of evidence to show that this sort of thing is indeed taking place. But it's unsettling and it's wrong, and there's something very uncouth about it. But how do you show that if you're not getting emails, if you're not getting the phone calls, if you're not getting the texts, but it's happening in ways that aren't as, I guess, documentable and then presentable to a judge? So many
yeah, that's tough.
Possible caveats to this. We've been in a courtroom together over this. You know, when I was stalking you, you know, and I'm kidding.
No.
We had a stalker that was stalking you and another person at a radio station years ago, and we got a protective order. Or was
yeah,
it,
that's
or,
right. And he kind of went away. He left me alone. He did go after somebody else a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that too. Or was it for you, or was it for the other person that we got?
It was the other person, but yeah. he was starting to tap into me as
yes,
well.
Yes, you and me were like there as like witnesses, or we're backing her mm-hmm. up, weren't we? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
And the beautiful part is we worked at a radio station, and when you call a radio station, they have the ability to record you immediately, and we did. So we did have some audio of this guy's actions, and he would email mm-hmm. and just be really creepy and say things that let us know that he had seen us, and he didn't live anywhere near us.
Yeah.
So it was very creepy, but we had ways of recording him. Mm-hmm. So we had some proof. We had documentation, and he kind of went away.
Did he?
He left me alone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't help when you continue to entertain your stalker. And
that's what the other person did.
Yeah.
I mean, continue to like have, we would yeah. hang up on him. She would just be like, hey, how are you doing?
Exactly. That was kind of the problem. it's like hang up immediately if they call. Do not even say, but that's kind of rude. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Just hang up. Do not have contact with this person. We just went to court for this. It's yeah. not time to sit there and chit chat about life. But yeah, that was a fun adventure.
Yeah. But we got the protective order, you know?
Yeah.
We got it.
Exactly. So there you go. Another interesting judge making great choices.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.